Just one verse there, verse 15, a real simple verse we want to draw a thought from today and share with you from the Word of God. Genesis 2, verse 15. God bless your faithfulness and your desire to be in the house of the Lord. And I know the benefits that we receive are definitely worthwhile that we make the effort to come. Praise God. All right, let's read together Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Amen. He was a keeper, and that was his responsibility that God put upon him. So right from the beginning, the Lord had expectations of man. The Lord worked those 6 days in creation, and then rested the seventh to give us a principle, and thank God we can follow through on that yet today. You may be seated. Adam was a garden keeper. Now, keeper is a unique word in that it can be a noun. It's something that we keep. We're not going to throw away. We're going to keep baby Jasmine. She's a keeper. Not that we would throw her away, but you just designate she's something special. A fish is a keeper. You know, a certain size and so on, or an outfit, or whatever it might be. We decide that's a keeper. That word is also a verb. It's something we do, a responsibility we exercise. Adam was a garden keeper. And so this responsibility came from the Lord. We at one point awarded our fathers a little plaque on Father's Day that said something about being a gatekeeper. And that responsibility incumbent upon fathers is very important today. And Adam certainly needed to be a gatekeeper to maintain their position and place in God. But sin changed all of that, as we know. But he started out being a garden keeper. It's ironic how hard we work at times to get a flower bed to look nice, to get a lawn to be productive and lush and green, to make a garden the way we want it to be. And then, once we get to that point, it's not something we can finish. It's not something we can walk away from and dust off our hands and say, there, that's done. Oh, my. All the rest of the summer, you're busy working on that lawn, trimming those flowers, taking care of that garden, and how often it keeps us from being able to do other things because of the necessity of being a keeper in that regard. God help us not to let our possessions possess us. Amen. But we use them for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Now, the first job for Adam as a gardener was not something that was idyllic. It wasn't something that was laid back. I think it was very involved, as those of you who are gardeners know how necessary it is to keep weeding and to keep things cultivated and productive. It's a job that requires just constant attention and constant effort. And I believe Adam and Eve were busy and hardworking. I think they took their job seriously. We call the Garden of Eden paradise, and indeed it was. But they did have these responsibilities, just as we serve God today with responsibilities. We enjoy His presence. We're blessed with His power. Amen. We're touched with the goodness that God would desire to bestow upon us. But we have responsibilities. And in the same way, Adam, I believe, had those responsibilities. Perhaps that's the reason the Lord came to them, as the Bible says, in the cool of the day. They'd spent all of that day in their efforts, in their responsibility. And it was something that they took time for and made great effort. And so they were rewarded with the presence of the Lord in the cool of the day. Thank God that the Lord is mindful of us in our labors and in our efforts and does not let us labor alone, but we're laborers together with God. Amen. The first two sons of Adam were likewise keepers. Cain was a gardener or a tiller of the ground, perhaps expanding beyond what Adam had done, and that's the way it should be. The next generation should have even more of responsibility and more of the reward. Abel was a keeper of sheep, and in the process of their growing up and maturing and taking on responsibility, they knew how to offer sacrifice. It wasn't something that they had missed out on. It wasn't a lesson that Abel alone received, and Cain was somehow out in the back 40, and he missed that lesson on how to offer sacrifice. No, they understood. They both knew what was required, what was to be done, how it was to be fulfilled. Abel offered the firstlings of the flock and was accepted. Cain offered the fruit of the ground and was not accepted. However, he had opportunity to go back and do it correctly. There was a window of opportunity for him to turn things around and offer it correctly. But instead, he began to stew and to fret and become more and more angry until finally he shed the blood of his brother. How amazing that he refused to shed the blood of a lamb, but then was willing to shed the blood of his brother. And the insolent reply that he gave to God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" when the Lord inquired as to the whereabouts of Abel, just to get Cain to confess. The Lord knew what had happened and so on. But, oh, how important we recognize in that story. And there's much, much that we can gain out of it. But in interest of time, we won't go into all the depths of that. You can recognize so much that is there as far as the blood and the keeper of the sheep and the typology of who Jesus is and how he was slain by those of his own household, as it were, of the house of Israel. But the responsibility to help brother and sister is incumbent upon every one of us. In the Song of Solomon 1:6, the wise writer wrote, "They made me the keeper of the vineyards." And he recognized how important that was, how it wasn't something that was just flung out into the breeze and kind of fluttered down into where his responsibilities lied. He said, "They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." Oh, God, help us to recognize in our responsibilities, in our jobs, and all of the things that we've got to take care of, Lord, help me to make sure my soul is going to arrive in that heavenly destination. And as we've been studying and talking in our Bible lessons, our marriages need to be taken care of. Our families need to be taken care of. They've got to come to the place of salvation as well. Our grandchildren, and on it goes. God, help us to understand, I am my brother's keeper. I do have responsibility. I've got to pray and seek the Lord on their behalf. Thank God that we can hold one another up in prayer and believe that God has his best interests in store for every one of us. Because the Lord is our keeper. Psalm 121 would emphasize that aspect and how the Lord uses his power to keep us. That's what he would desire to do. When he made heaven and earth, it wasn't just for his entertainment. It wasn't just so that he could look out on something that would sparkle in the darkness of space and would adhere to the orbits and the revolutions and so on that he had put in place. It wasn't just for his enjoyment, but it was for you and I. And thank God, he made heaven and earth and is very, very qualified to be our helper. Amen. Thank God that he is our keeper. On the margin, it says protector. Thank God that he is our protector. And that passage goes on to say, he's not going to slumber. He's not going to sleep. He's not going to fall down on that responsibility. But he will stay alert and responsible for your protection and to be your keeper. Praise God. One preacher said, if he's going to stay awake, there's no sense in both of us staying awake. I'm going to go to sleep. Amen. Thank God that we can enjoy the rest that he has given unto us. So his power is how he is a keeper. The position that he puts us in, likewise, is how he is a keeper. 1 Peter 4:19 says that we can commit the keeping of our souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Again, there's that aspect of creation. The one who made heaven and earth definitely has power, definitely has knowledge, definitely has ability to keep your soul. And thank God, that's exactly what he desires to do. We maintain the position of committing ourselves to him, and he maintains the position of being a faithful creator who is able to keep your soul. The context of that scripture would say that you might suffer. Don't suffer as an evildoer, but suffering may come as a result of the will of God. However, if that happens, thank God, you can commit yourself to him who is going to keep your soul, because he is a faithful creator. The old song says, he saves, he keeps, he satisfies. Thank God that we can know by experience that that's exactly what he does. Oftentimes, when we're getting ready to head on the road, we'll have a brief prayer as we're sitting in the driveway. Lord, keep us safe on the road. Lord, keep your hand upon our home. Lord, provide for us and protect us. Keep us, Lord, in your will. And I'm thankful we can utter that kind of prayer, and the Lord has been diligent to answer it so far. But oh, I'm thankful that I can recognize what this scripture says. He will keep what is eternal. Everything else is going to pass away, but my soul is going to live on somewhere. God, if that's the most important thing for you to keep, I want you to keep my soul. Amen. I want to be in the place of salvation. I want to know the hand of God is there in my life, even if I suffer loss of so many things. But oh God, don't let my soul slip away from you. Thank God that he has promised, I will keep your soul. Praise God. Amen. The third way that he would be our keeper is in prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Other translations say, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. When I read that, I almost chuckled and said, yeah, don't let the sun come up. Don't let the tide come in. In our humanity, we tend to worry. We tend to be anxious. We tend to be concerned. We tend to have all of these emotional attachments to different situations. But the scripture says, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thank the Lord, we're not just calling upon the governor or the senator or the president, Lord help us. We're calling upon one who is far greater. Hallelujah. We call upon our God. Hallelujah. And let him know everything we're concerned about, everything that we're carrying, every burden that we bear, we bring it before him, casting our care upon him, because he cares for us. Hallelujah. And verse 7 goes on to say, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, thank God. The promise is there both for prayer and for the peace of God. Thank the Lord that we can put our trust in him. Peace is a part of the prayer process, and he will keep your hearts and minds. Even when there are things that you don't understand, even when there are situations that are beyond your comprehension, thank God the Lord is there to bring peace that passes understanding. This is the power and the position of prayer that God invites us to. Through Christ Jesus, amen, his blood washes us from every stain of sin. Through Christ Jesus, we are baptized in the name which is above every name, the only saving name that is given under heaven. Through Christ Jesus, we are spirit-filled. Hallelujah. And the power of the new birth begins to work within our lives, and we can have peace that passes understanding. Oh, thank God for the wonderful answers that we can rejoice in and continue rejoicing in. Praise God that Becca is healed of her blood sugar problem because God answers prayer. Hallelujah. Brother Parrish said, I can't remember the last time that Sister Anderson walked without her cane, but oh, you saw her walking on the campground. Amen. Ah, because God would bring a healing. I wish I had gotten the name of the young lady from California who told me all of her life she had hearing problems, but now God had healed her. Oh, yes, our God answers. Oh, yes, our God keeps. Amen. And provides every need that we bring before Him. He keeps His promises. We keep His commandments. Amen. The Lord showed His love in operation. Israel was loved by the Lord, not because they were great in number or any other merit that they could bring before the Lord and say, we deserve to have your love. No, it was the Lord reaching out to them. And the reason is, the Bible says, He would keep the oath that He had given, the promise that He had given to their fathers. Deuteronomy 7 and 9 lets us know that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that the Lord would be faithful in that way. So we love Him and keep His commandments because He keeps His promise. He keeps His covenant. He keeps His mercies that are extended to us again and again. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Praise God. And John recorded those words in John 15 and 14. In 1 John 5 and 3, it is though he is reminding us of the promise that the Lord had made or the relationship that he invites us to. 1 John 5 and 3, he says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. He makes that link again. If you love him, keep his commandments. You keep his commandments because you love him. And then he goes on to explain, his commandments are not grievous. They're not harmful. They're not punishing. They're not burdensome. His commandments will bring peace. His commandments will bring love. His commandments will bring power. His commandments will bring healing. His commandments will bring the blessings of God. Hallelujah. And we are linked by love of God, and we are quick to obey His commandments. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that we can know the relationship that He has invited us into and know the blessings that come as we obey what His word declares. Now, keeping His promises may have seemed impossible to the disciples who witnessed his death. Those three who were with him in the garden of Gethsemane, when they witnessed his intense, excruciating time of prayer, where he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Then the arrest that shortly followed, the travesty of justice, the injustice that took place in Herod's palace and Pilate's judgment hall and Caiaphas' home and so on. And finally, up the hill of Golgotha. Crucifixion being very real to them as they saw him hanging upon the cross for 6 hours. They heard his statements. They saw the actions of the soldiers. They heard the laughter and the mockery of the priests and those who were there saying, save yourself. You saved others. Come on down from the cross. But thank God he stayed there for your salvation. He stayed there for my salvation. Praise God. And the death that came to him was final in the eyes of the disciples. They felt it's over, even though numerous times he had promised them the third day. The third day. Amen. He had let them know again and again what was going to happen. But oh, how traumatic and how final everything seemed to them in that hour. The tomb that they went to with Nicodemus and Joseph, rich individuals who were followers of the Lord, gathering 100-pound weight of spices and preparing his body for burial. You would think that that would have been adequate. That would have been more than enough. But in their devotion, in their desire to minister to him even in death, the women came early in the morning of the third day and wanted to apply more spices, wanted to prepare his body for burial. And Mary stood there weeping. And the angels asked, "Why weepest thou?" Jesus appeared to her and asked, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And oh, we would look at it from the simple human nature aspect and know her heart was broken. Her hopes were dashed. Her dreams were destroyed. She felt like the one who had made a difference in her life and indeed casting seven demons out of her. Ah, the one who had brought such a change to her was now cold and still in death. And even in that moment, she wanted to do something more. She thought the one speaking to her was a gardener. And she asked, "Where have you taken him? Where have you put him? I will take him away. I will take care of him. I will minister to him." And then Jesus spoke her name. Oh, what a blessing when we can hear the Lord minister to us in the midnight hour. Amen. When we hear him and know that he is near, that his presence is with us, and he speaks your name. Thank God. When she heard her name, Mary, there was no hesitation in her. She called him Master. Oh, thank the Lord that we can understand he is the Master. She knew that seven demons had been cast out of her by the Master. Hallelujah. She knew that he walked on water, that he healed blind eyes, that he delivered the demoniacs, that he cleansed the lepers, that he raised the dead, and indeed he is Master. And now he stands there before her, Master of death and hell and the grave. Oh, that God would put it in our minds and in our hearts again and again. He will be the keeper of your soul. He will be the one who brings victory in spite of all the circumstances. He will be the one who brings you through, hallelujah. And every need he will provide. Glory to God. Amen. And we can look ahead at what shall be and what can be. In heaven, the Bible lets us know there's a tree of life. There's a river of life. Oh, the God of abundant life is at it again. Hallelujah. We can rejoice because of what is there. All of this abundance, all of this eternal life, rejoicing that we're going to see him, hallelujah, the one who ministered to us, the one who calls our names, the one who remitted our sins in his precious name and filled us with the Spirit. We're going to see him in that heavenly realm, rejoicing that we are in his presence forever and ever. But oh, thank God, I believe we're also going to rejoice in what is not there. Satan is not there. He is in a lake of fire. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to rejoice in that fact. Hallelujah. Nothing that defiles, nothing that works abomination, nothing that makes a lie is going to enter into that place. I'm going to rejoice that we're free from the impact of sin. Hallelujah. And no longer have to struggle with that atmosphere and all of the things waxing worse and worse and becoming perilous times. We will be past that and into the eternal realm. And the Bible says there will be no tears, there will be no crying, there will be no pain, there will be no sorrow, there will be no death. Oh, what rejoicing we can have in what is there and what is not there. I want to make sure I make it on that heavenly realm. I want him to keep my soul unto eternal life. I want to make sure his hands are in mine, praise God, and I walk with him again and again. So the here and now, God wants to do a great work. We plant and water. God gives the increase. Thank God that we can be involved in his work today as though it was a garden. Amen. Planting and watering. And thank God the increase coming from him. Oh, let's give him the opportunity to give the increase. Make sure you're planting the seed, the word of God. Make sure you're watering with prayer and fasting and continuing to teach Bible studies. Praise God. Give God a chance to give the increase. Amen. Do your part, planting and watering, and then see God give the increase. Hallelujah. We choose the Lord and His word. We're not walking in the way of the scorners and the sinful and so on. We're choosing to meditate in the law, and we delight in the word of God, like Psalm 1 says. And then verse 3 says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What an incredible promise we can have in the word of God. A tree planted with purpose, not just happenstance, but God purposefully put you where you are. And he has rivers of water for your supply, and fruit will be brought forth, and prosper is what God has in mind for you. Oh, thank God that we can walk in the ways of the Lord and not follow the ways of sinful flesh and a society that would want to leave God out completely. Thank God that we can determine this word is not irrelevant, not old-fashioned, not outdated, but it's something I'm going to live every day. Hallelujah. Something I'm going to cherish and find precious every day, because that word gives promise. Now, Isaiah 58 and 11, we're coming to a close. Isaiah 58 and 11. The Lord shall guide thee continually. Oh, let it be so. Not that I'm going to wander off in my own direction, that I'm going to choose to go my own way. No, I'm let the Lord guide me continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. It can be so dry, and everybody else can be struggling, but those who walk with God can be satisfied in their soul. And make fat thy bones. Praise God. I have no trouble doing that in the natural, but oh, I need it in the spiritual. God, help me, amen, to have health and wealth in the spiritual realm as well. Praise God. And look at this part. Thou shalt be like a watered garden. Amen. Thank God. Not a garden that's dried up. Not a garden that's ill-kept. Not a garden that's forgotten. No, like a watered garden. Like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Praise God. Let the Lord guide you. Let the Lord satisfy your soul. Let him make you like a watered garden. Let him give you that spring of water that will not fail. Jesus told that woman at the well, the water that I give shall be in him a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Thank God that that's what we can put our trust in today. Abundant life. The reason he came. I am come, he said, that they might have life and that more abundantly. That's the reason he came so long ago. That's the reason he comes today to knock on your heart's door. That's the reason he comes in your midnight hour when you're wondering where he is and where his answers are. Thank God he'll be there to minister for you. He had come to bring abundant life. And in great contrast, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's exactly what he's doing today. As Brother Blackshear mentioned, that poor lady who took her own life. That's exactly what the devil would desire for every one of you, all of us, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But thank God we can make the choice for abundant life. We can make the choice to follow the one who would desire to bring us into his power and his blessing. And we commit the keeping of our soul to a faithful Creator. Hallelujah. Stand with me today, please. Thank the Lord that we can make that calling and election sure. Sure. Praise God. I get irritated by all the campaigning and all the election stuff and all of that. Let it remind you of what the Bible says about election. Amen. Get irritated about it, probably can't help it. But let it also be a reminder. I'm going to make my calling and election sure. I want there to be an abundant entrance into that heavenly realm. And the scripture promises that. There could be an abundant entrance. Not so you just may go sliding by and barely make it. No, an abundance. The God of abundance would open that up for you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that we can know his power and his blessing in that way. And we can know his goodness and his strength. Praise God, because that's how he desires to fulfill it in our lives. I want his promises fulfilled. I want him to keep me. Praise God. And at the same time, I need to commit myself keeping his commandments, keeping his word, keeping my vows, keeping my promises. Lord, I'm going to walk with you. Lord, I'm not going to turn away. Lord, I'm not going to follow another direction. Amen. We're going to serve you, Lord. We're going to serve you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because every one of us can make the choice. Ill-timed and wrong direction, we can make the choice. Step away from the things of God. It can happen to every one of us. And oh, make sure you're determined. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to walk with you, Lord. I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm not going to let anything hold me back. Praise God. Amen. Let's come today.